Okay, we are back. Welcome everybody to another episode of Kitchen Table Convos. My name is Tito.
And I'm Amanda.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Am I sounding super crispy right now?
Crispy like a potato chip.
Like super, super crystal clear.
Honestly, you sound the same to me.
Really?
I don't want to burst your bubble.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know. I'm excited. I got this. I finally invested in this microphone that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it probably sounds the same to most.
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of money on it, so I think it sounds amazing.
You sound very professional now.
Yeah. So it took all these years to me to finally get like a legit...
Yeah.
Like broadcast quality type of microphone. So I'm excited about it. This is the first kind of thing I'm recording.
Yeah. I think it looks cool. I mean, like whenever you see clips of people in studios, I feel like it kind of looks like that.
Yeah. It's used a lot in the industry for the technical people. It's a Shure SM7B.
Like, does your voice maybe sound deeper?
I don't know if it sounds deeper. I'm not like trying to sound deeper or anything like that, but I think it's...
Does it pick up the lower registers of your voice?
I think I think it's a flatter frequency response and it's like a clearer, I guess.
So it doesn't spike.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
Is it more even?
Yeah. I think the tonal quality of it is better, but like it doesn't, I mean, our old microphones, like I have really cheap microphones considering that I record a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
I think it's a very small step.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't, you wouldn't be able to tell really the difference if...
I'm picturing like a nice, pretty sine wave. Is that what the sound would look like?
I guess.
No.
I don't know. Kind of.
I don't understand audio.
So I'm so excited about this mic that the very first thing that I did with it was test it, of course, right?
Of course.
So I was kind of thinking it'd be fun to do.
No.
The very first thing that I did.
I knew you were going to test
it. I just like read out like a script over top of music, kind of like a voiceover.
Okay.
So just imagine me opening up the box, right? And like all of a sudden, I found this poem that actually my dad shared with me.
Mm.
It's called the Desiderata. And it's an early 1920s poem by this writer, Max Ehrman.
Mm-hmm.
He shared it with me out of the blue one day. He like had it somewhat memorized. And I'm like, what the heck? Where'd that come from?
That's super random.
Yeah, he was just reciting this poem like from memory.
Huh.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to recite a portion of it, and I want you to recite a portion of it with using this mic.
We have to change mics?
Yeah, we just switch.
I just got comfortable. Okay.
Indulge me.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. This is the Desiderata. This is an excerpt from Desiderata using my new microphone. Go placidly amid the noise. Shoot, I messed up. Let me do it again. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter. For always, there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
That's pretty epic.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to try it?
Oh, these are different. Oh, I don't like these headphones.
Really?
No. Also, I don't have my glasses on, so. All right, so can I just read, like, the first little blurb?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others. Even to the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story. Keep going. I just asked if I could read the little blurb. All right, I'll keep going. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Good?
Good.
Okay. I will see if that even was interesting at all, and I'll delete it if it's not.
I think it's funny. Do you just want to hear what I sound like in the microphone?
Yeah, I wanted you to be like the calming voice. You know?
Am I not usually?
No, you are. I just using the microphone. I don't know. Maybe it was better in my head.
No, I think it was fun.
Yeah, so I'll see how it sounds and then we'll decide. Okay, so today's episode, It's kind of like date night, game night. Because on the last episode, we were pretty serious about New Year's intentions and all that stuff. So we got real deep.
We got in.
Yeah, so today we'll keep it lighthearted.
I like date night, game night idea.
Yeah, and we'll bring it back to like episode 3 or 4. Episode 3 or 4, we played this game called Table Topics. Mm. We picked out a few and we answered them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
We picked out a few other questions. So we're just going to go back and forth.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
Who's going first?
Here, you read the first one.
Okay. Oh, this is a good one. All right. I know my answer.
Okay.
Which spirit animal fits your character best?
Which spirit animal?
Yeah, what would be your spirit animal?
Fits your character best.
And why?
This one was a tough one for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have a couple in mind. Because the question is, which one fits your character the best?
Yeah.
I feel like the ones that I have in mind, I think I strive to fit that character.
Mm.
I think my main one that I would think of, that I thought of is gorilla.
Oh.
Is that what you expected?
No.
What did you think?
I don't know.
I would have said.
Like, I don't know. I feel like something you would have strived to be would be more like a lion.
Mm. Lion would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it, I didn't know if lion was like too cliche.
Yeah. Or like.
Okay, here's.
I thought of another one.
What?
I don't know. I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Go for it. Okay, what are you going to say?
Like a llama.
Why? I like llamas.
Oh, good.
But why?
Well, because they're like. They're cute little, like, furry animals. Not that you're furry, but they're just like. They're very practical. They seem very like docile and very nice, but they also, I don't know much about llamas, but I feel like they can be like hard workers, but they can also like be pets. And then you can have like, they give you like warm wool. So it's like, they're very utilitarian, but they also seem very friendly.
Okay. I'll take that. Well, see, that's where I had a hard time with it, because what I'm thinking is what I want to strive for. And I was thinking gorilla.
We had two very different approaches for you.
This is why the question's really funny, because it's like you thought I was going to say llama.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to say that, but that just popped into my head is like, you'd be a good llama.
I like that, though. I actually like that. That's pretty unique.
Thank you.
But the reason why I was thinking gorilla, which I really like the llama thing. Mm-hmm. But gorilla, for me, it's like, there's something about gorillas that are like this big energy, but it's like calm.
Oh, unless energy, they get like riled.
Unless provoked.
Ooh.
So it's like nobody messes with a gorilla.
Right.
Like, who messes with a gorilla?
Nobody.
That's kind of, I want to have that like calm energy to me.
I like that.
And it's very similar to the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
You know, elephants never forget.
Yeah. I was thinking calm energy, but never... You're way better at this.
You'd have a great memory.
Yeah.
They're also very loyal.
There's something about, like, the power within the... Kind of like the calm silence.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
We have a little thing on our refrigerator. It's a quote from like some like big like philosopher kind okay. of
yeah.
person.
Do you want me to put the background music on?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
And it says something along the lines of sometimes one creates a more significant impression by remaining silent.
Mm.
And I like that a lot. I think because I tend to be like a very quiet person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like sometimes like quiet or silence can be misinterpreted
yeah.
as either like unfriendly or you just don't really have an opinion or anything to say.
Right.
But I really like that quote because I'm like sometimes silence is actually more impactful.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. So yeah, I like llama. I think.
And they're really cute. They get like used a lot now in like colorful artistic senses
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm down for llama. My answer was gorilla, elephant, but now you have me converted in thinking llama. That's good. That's a good answer.
I like your explanations for your gorilla and elephant, though. So I think those are valid also.
Okay. So what about you?
You know, the funny thing is I don't really have good explanations for mine. I think I came up with good things for yours,
okay.
oddly enough.
Yeah.
But one of them... I think I say this because it's been my favorite animal since I was like really, really young. So I guess in that sense, it's kind of like spirit animal where it's a very unique animal for being like a favorite
mm-hmm.
animal. And it's part of the big cat family.
Yeah.
But it's a small big cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's an ocelot.
An ocelot.
Yeah.
It's like a small leopard.
Yeah. 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 It's like a really small version of a leopard.
Yeah. And big cats are cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just became obsessed with this animal in like, I think it was like third grade era. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but for some reason in school, our teachers went through this phase of, I feel like they showed us a lot of documentaries on rainforest destruction. Like, I don't know why that was like a big hot topic, I guess, around that point in time. And I always found them like extremely disturbing just because I'm like super sensitive about animals and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember ocelots being featured in those documentaries that we watched. And I just thought that they were like really pretty, like mysterious kind of cats.
Yeah.
And I also liked that they were much smaller than like a lion mm-hmm. or cheetah or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've always really liked them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that really, I don't know how much I embody that in my character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I pick ocelot, but then also I feel like this one's kind of random, but I do kind of feel like my inner brain embodies this a lot. This next little animal,
mm-hmm.
very different from an ocelot. I think like my inner dialogue and inner turmoil is perfectly described by a squirrel.
Okay. I think squirrel's perfect for you.
Like, I don't really think I tend to present myself with squirrel-like energy,
mm-hmm.
but my internal energy is very much like a squirrel.
Yeah. Squirrels are funny too.
I love squirrels.
They have
squirrels.
A funny sense of humor.
Yes. Like if you're having a bad day, sit and watch a squirrel. They are freaking hilarious
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fun. Like watch them build their little house.
Yeah. Since you thought of one for me.
Yes. Please tell me one for me.
I think one that would fit you very well. I think you would agree. And it's very in line with squirrel.
Okay.
As your spirit animal.
Uh-huh.
I would think like hummingbird.
Oh.
Because it's like a very pretty animal.
Uh-huh.
But also like
They're very flighty.
Yeah, like frantic energy.
Mm.
But like, this is your like internal self.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I had been told one time by, it was actually two of my bosses. Like there was like these situations going on at work and there was a lot of like drama involved. And anyway, I was told before that I gave off a very even, very calm presence in the office space.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of found that funny because internally I'm very much like a squirrel, like a little bit spastic, a little like just can be like very high stress, very high strung, very, my brain can jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, like very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like if you sit and watch a squirrel and like watch their tails, how their tails like just like jump.
Yeah.
And just watch a squirrel. And I feel like that's my internal brain, but I guess I don't always come across that way, which is probably good. But I just found that very funny because their impression of me is not how I typically tend to feel.
Yeah.
So hummingbird is kind of funny as well.
Yeah. I think I get a very similar vibe that other people think that we're calm or
mm-hmm.
easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we come off that way, but I was reading somewhere, I forgot where it was, where it was like characteristics of a high performing anxious person
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Yeah.
And a part of it is like being able to remain calm outwardly,
mm-hmm.
but on the inside, be very like, you know, a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's like a sign of a high performing person that's very anxious.
Interesting.
It could be a symptom. I don't know if it's a symptom, but like a result is that you've learned how to
mm-hmm.
remain calm on the outside when you are very tumultuous on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want most people to see like my turbulent insides.
Yeah. My insides are turbulent.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it's better that we both like kind of tend to project. I mean, I don't know how everybody perceives us. Like some people might perceive us as a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
Squirrel, like yeah. Hummingbird, like, but I think overall we tend to like keep that between us.
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the gorilla side that I strive to be.
Yeah.
But instead I am a llama.
Okay. So maybe I strive to be an ocelot because like if you think about cats, like they're very sleek.
Yeah.
And they're very like quiet and under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I strive for that.
Yeah.
Externally.
Yeah.
But my internal is very squirrel-like.
Okay. All right.
So it's like, yeah, it's like your gorilla llama. Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, next question. This one's a tough one because, okay, the question is, what are your three favorite songs?
Oh, yeah, I had to write this one down.
And this one's a tough one because it's like impossible to pick
mm-hmm.
what songs you're going to put out there into the world that they're your favorite songs.
I think you feel more pressure about this than I do.
I do, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of really good songs. I picked three, maybe four, just because I couldn't mm-hmm. narrow it down to three
mm-hmm.
that kind of embody who I am, who I feel like are always going to, it's going to be like one of those lifetime songs
mm-hmm.
for me. Lifetime. You want to start?
Okay. So yeah, I think I struggled with this for a different reason because I don't really have favorite songs. I can't really think of a favorite song. Like I just enjoy listening to random music.
Mm-hmm.
But since you made me answer this question, how many do you want me to start out with? Because I also kind of had like, oh, it could be this or this.
You can just go back and forth.
Okay. So I'm going to start with, I think definitively say this is one of my favorite artists, and it's Johnny Swim.
Okay.
And so I picked two from them because I just love a lot of their songs. And I hope I have the titles of these right. But one of them that I picked is Touching Heaven.
Mm, that's a good song.
And Paris in June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are good songs.
Yeah.
Not Take the World?
Oh, that's a good one too.
Ooh.
So, nope, not that one, but easily could have been that one. Because then there were... I'm really bad at remembering song titles.
Live Like We're Young? Or
yeah, it's... Is that like the Burning Bridges down?
No, that's Bridges.
Oh, see. So there's lots.
Yeah. So just Johnny Swim in general?
Essentially.
Okay. One of my favorite songs that's always going to be one of the favorites is Beautiful Mess by Jason Mraz.
I have that on here.
You do?
So yeah.
That one's just classic.
But I don't know if I put that down because it reminds me of you.
Mm.
Because I know that that's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Maybe I just copied you.
What else you got?
I also don't know if this is the correct name for this song. But this one is by Sarah Bareilles.
Mm.
And is it called Gravity?
Yeah.
Where she
Something
like...
Something always brings me back
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a solid choice.
Yeah.
That's like one
she
of
She gives
those...
me chills at the end.
Yeah.
That
bringing
just...
me down.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. Oh, What a World, Kacey Musgraves.
Mm.
That one, it's just, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I listen to it, I want to listen. I think that's the category of this, like, what are your three favorite songs?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I hear this list of songs that I'm sharing, mm-hmm. there's songs that I want to listen with, like, headphones or in the car, super loud.
Mm.
And just get lost in the song.
Yeah.
There's like other really good songs that are just like amazing that I love.
Mm-hmm.
But these one, like for some reason, they like touch the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So, Oh, What a World.
Mm-hmm. That's a good song.
Yeah.
Well, good thing I had a backup song because another one that I wrote down was Jason Mraz's Beautiful Mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I realized with some of these... that I picked, it's either because I just think the songs are like really pretty or like really well done.
Yeah.
But also I think I like songs that give me like a clear visual of something.
Mm.
And I can like picture something because there's like in Beautiful Mess, there's the line of like picking up trash and dresses.
Yeah.
And
I really amazing lyric.
Just, I like picturing that and picturing what that looks like. And I think that kind of explains like the final song that I have where, again, I don't know if this is really a favorite song of mine,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason I really like this visual, and it probably is a little bit odd that I like this visual, but this one's by John Mayer, and it's Slow Dancing in a Burning Room.
That's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one specifically, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It like takes me somewhere in my head, and I literally picture two people slow dancing in a room that's on fire and burning, and there's something like very intriguing to me about that, and I don't know why. Again, maybe it's like this weird turmoil in my head, and
I think
brain
that,
is always burning down
that song. That song, whenever people hear it, you like can't deny that song. That you can't deny that that's like a good song.
Yeah,
like when you hear that live or something.
Mm-hmm.
When he just does that opening riff,
mm-hmm.
everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so iconic. That's like iconic John Mayer
mm-hmm.
right there. Speaking of like images mm-hmm. in songs, this is one that I don't listen to a lot.
Okay.
But when I do, this is a song that I have to listen to the whole way through. It's mm-hmm. a longer song.
Okay.
And it's all visual, and mm-hmm. it's The Ballad of Love and Hate by Avett Brothers.
Mm. I don't know this one, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I play it. Like, it's a very personal song that I listen to on my own.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the way it was written
mm-hmm.
is exactly how I want to write as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
The brothers, they wrote this, like, story, the ballad of Love and Hate. Mm-hmm. But Love and Hate are like these characters that need each other. I don't know. It's just like, it was really
interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting visual. So I'll let you listen to it tonight.
I was going to say, can you like play it while we're cooking dinner or something?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
But like, it's weird because like whenever I listen to it, I can't do stuff while I'm listening to it.
Oh, okay.
I can't be like cooking and like chopping stuff while I'm... Okay. It's like I'm sitting there like visualizing this story going on as they're... And the way they perform it, it's just the energy that they like harness while they're performing it. It's like incredible. Even if you watch them on YouTube performing it live, it's like the room is silent. And that's exactly what I would want if I was to ever like have a moment in music where I'm like performing a song, is to suck up all the energy in the room and harness it into the... I don't know how they do it. It's like spiritual.
I want to hear this song now.
Yeah, I just hyped it up.
You did. And actually, funny enough, while we were talking about this, I just thought of another one that I think is worth mentioning. And this one is Damien Rice.
Yep.
Cannonball.
That could be one of my favorites too. That's like
that's a really good one.
That's a lifelong song right
there.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of passed our three favorite songs here, but I'm going to say one more just because I can't go without saying a John Mayer song.
Okay.
And
ooh, which one did you pick?
Yeah. Guess.
Oh, what's it called? The shopping cart one.
Ooh, that's a really good... That's a really good guess. Wow. Really good guess. Because that's
What's that song called?
That's Deep Cut John Mayer.
Yeah.
It's called Comfortable.
Yeah. Not that one.
Not that one. The one that I have on the list is actually not a typical favorite John Mayer song. Because there's so many... So John Mayer is probably one of my favorite artists because of just like the amount of music he puts out and the different albums that he put out. There's too many songs to consider like this is the best one. But
I have one more guess?
One song that's special to me. Go ahead.
Is it Love on the Weekend?
Yes.
Yes.
So Love on the Weekend. You would never expect it because it's probably the least technical song in like a John Mayer song. Like you could pick Soul Dancing in a Burning Room, you know, Neon, like there all these classics that he has, but Love on the Weekend, that's one that I have to turn up.
Yeah.
And I have to close my eyes. I have to be by myself. You know, like it just makes me, it feels like a hug.
It does. That's a really good one. Yeah.
I think sonically, if you were to listen to it sonically and how it feels, not what he's doing, not what he's singing. It's the feel of the entire thing. It's so repeatable to me.
Yeah. It's like a warm cup of cocoa on a snowy day.
Yeah. It embodies that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people would disagree. Like people think Love on the Weekend's trash probably. Because it's so poppy. But I don't hear it as that. I never heard it as that. So I don't know. Maybe it was just the way it hit me the first time I heard it kind of impressed something else upon me. But that one's a good one.
That is a really good one.
Yeah. Okay.
So we both picked like 10 songs.
Yeah, that was the whole podcast, what our favorite songs are. Okay, do you want to read this next question?
Read the next one.
In Table Topics Date Night.
Oh, this is a good question.
Okay.
Okay. Which famous couple would we like to go on a double date with?
Famous couple.
Famous couple.
Okay.
I wonder if we have the same answer for this.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know many famous... Well, I don't know any famous couples personally.
Yeah. But, who you'd think? Okay. I would go with Amanda and Abner Ramirez from Johnny Swim.
That is mine.
No way.
Yeah. Who else would I pick?
I don't know. Chip and Joanna Gaines?
Well, they were up there, but then I was like, meh. And then I thought of Johnny Swim. And I was like, they'd be way more fun to hang out with. Because I love watching their little like baking cooking show, and they just seem like such fun, normal, cool people.
You really picked them?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I that was okay. That's really my answer.
Perfect. So, Amanda and Abner Ramirez are the duo that is Johnny Swim, one of Amanda's favorite artists, one of mine. They're just they seem like they would be cool to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of backdoor cheat about it is that they're also friends with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yeah.
So if we ever made it into that friend group,
yeah,
we'd probably be in that circle. And Steph and Aisha Curry.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, they just have, like, all these power couples, like, really good friends.
Right.
But they seem really down to earth. And then whenever we've seen them a couple times live, three times. I think they're the most we've seen.
Has it only been three?
I don't know. I don't remember.
At least three.
At least three.
Yeah.
They just, and when you follow them on social media, they just seem so down to earth.
Mm-hmm. And just very positive, very good vibes.
Yeah.
They just seem like good people.
Yeah.
I would totally hang out with them.
Wow.
So if somehow they end up listening to our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, I like Jimmy Fallon would be cool to hang out with. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Nothing against Jimmy Fallon. I'm sure they would be fine. But if I had like a one wisher.
If I wanted to be like actual friends with a famous couple, it would probably be Johnny Swim.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
How many more we got?
We got two more.
Okay.
Let's do this one. You want to read this one?
Mm-hmm. All right. So what surprising hobby might you take up later in life?
What surprising hobby?
Yeah.
Okay. I think because it would be very unlike me, or maybe if you've been listening to this and know me, it might not be a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who doesn't know me,
okay,
it might be kind of like, really?
Mm.
I would say a hobby that I would take up, a surprising hobby that I would take up, would be something along the lines of like a mixed martial arts or like boxing or jiu-jitsu.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah. Just because I don't think I've mentioned that I'm a big fan of that sport. I've never actually done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always just been the one to really like watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure in the future I will have the guts to like go for it and try my hand in it. Like, I'm not trying to compete. Like, I'm not I'm not trying to get to that level, but actually like training or practicing
just
it.
Just like basic knowledge and like know some good skills.
Yeah. Then I could really fulfill my gorilla.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is all coming full circle.
Right now I can be calm energy.
Yeah.
But if somebody messes with me, I'm done. But if I'm, you know, if I have an actual altercation, I wouldn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
Not that I would want to.
But you could if you needed to.
Yes.
Mm.
So that would probably be most surprising, I guess, to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm curious what yours is.
I mean, I have like a couple in my head, and some of them are like, oh, they could be my hobby now. And I actually just thought of one that I would really like to actually get more into, because it's not something that we do very often. And I don't know how extreme I would ever want to get with this one day. Not like insane, but I think rock climbing.
Mm.
I really like rock climbing, like indoor rock climbing.
You're really good at it, and you do have this enjoyment about it.
I love it. I don't know why.
Compared to me, I wish I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it, but I struggle.
Yeah.
I struggle a lot with rock climbing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're really good at it.
I mean, I would say I'm very average for the fact that, I mean, I've only
twice that we've done it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've only done this two or three times in my life. But I don't know. There's something about it that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would ever do it on a real
rock. Yeah.
A real situation.
You want to go like gym rock climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like if it was a very easy, very heavily guided outdoor experience where you're essentially just going up a big hill type situation where I can't fall and hurt myself in any major way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going like Alex Honnold.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like free climbing anything. But I don't know. I really like rock climbing, and it's something that one of these days when I have a lot more free time and a lot more money.
What is it about rock climbing that you feel? Is it that it gets out of your, you get out of your head while you're, when you're trying to physically and mentally trying to solve this puzzle?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm able to achieve with rock climbing something that I wish I could do with running. Because depending on the day with running, if you're in the zone, you're in the zone, right? And it mm-hmm. feels good and you can run for miles and like you can just like grind it out and you get out of your head. But not every time you go running is like that, because sometimes you just feel like you're dying and you ran a mile and you're like, what the heck? Like, why was that so hard?
Yeah. Those off days.
Yeah. And I mean, I've only been rock climbing twice, so I don't know what an off day with rock climbing feels like.
Yeah.
But it is that, like, I think there's definitely, I think it satisfies the need for like a sense of accomplishment because it can be hard. And I think like the satisfaction of like figuring out how to get over like a hard part of the wall mm-hmm. and getting up to the top is very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a part of rock climbing as well that initially when I'm starting to climb, I'm really scared and really nervous because I'm not used to the height mm-hmm. and I'm not used to the fact that once you're at the top, you have to let go
yeah.
to get back down.
Yeah.
And I think being able to like conquer that and be like, for like how scared and how nervous I am at the beginning of the climb versus when we're done and calling it a day, like how easily you can just let go and like rappel down the wall are two drastically different feelings.
Right.
I kind of like that because that's another feeling of like you overcame a huge fear to just.
Yeah.
After you've been doing it, you're an hour in, like, oh, I can just let go and rappel down and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But an hour ago, I was terrified to do it.
Right. The adjustment period is way different.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you think, oh, I'm going to be scared of this. And then once you get used to it, you're like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. Ah. So I think it satisfies like a couple different things for me.
Yeah. Okay. I like those.
Yeah.
We will eventually we will do these things.
I mean, a lot more anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just the time too.
It is. It's
time, money.
Time and money.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to close this out with this final question?
Yeah.
Okay. These have been good questions.
I think so.
I think we went through a whole gamut of stuff.
Yeah, they're all very random.
Yeah, very random.
I like it.
All right, here we go. The final question for today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite day that we've spent together? Easy, right now. Hanging out with you.
Aww. That's your favorite day?
No. I'm just... This is a tough one, too. This is like a favorite song thing. There's plenty of favorite days. But what's one that sticks out in your mind at the moment?
You want me to go first?
It doesn't matter. I can go first. I have mine if you...
I have.
What if we have the same
one? We might. It's very possible.
Okay.
Mine goes all the way back to the beginning.
Mm.
Does yours?
Nope.
Okay, so they're very different.
Okay.
I'm going to say my favorite day that we spent together is what I still very stubbornly insist is our first actual date.
Oh, okay. And I think we've mentioned it in a...
Yeah, which... So our first date, this is actually our second date,
okay,
or whatever.
Our first official date.
The official date.
Yeah.
Where I had like flown down to Florida and like did that whole thing from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Like brief recap there. And the second day of my visit, you took me to Disney World for the very, very first time, like my first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally spent from, I don't know, whatever time the park opens.
Yeah.
Until the park closes. It was like a good 14-hour day, probably.
We did the whole proper Disney.
Yeah.
Multiple
parks.
Yeah.
Just the entire day.
Yeah.
In the first week of August in Florida.
Summer. We were sweating.
Like 100 degree heat.
Yeah.
Humidity. Like brand new relationship, just started dating, still figuring each other out.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And I loved, like, it was just fun experiencing Disney for the first time ever. and my first time in Florida, and like our relationship was new, and just like figuring out like what this whole thing was between us, and just like that intrigue. And then also like somehow we got lucky enough to get dinner in Mexico in Epcot,
yeah,
which is like the coolest restaurant.
Yeah, there's like, this cool restaurant in the Mexico portion of Epcot.
Yeah,
and it's like along this like water ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really cool.
Yeah, so it's like the setting, it's set up so it looks like it's nighttime or evening.
Mm-hmm.
You're by this water. There's like, it's dark and there's like the stars twinkling overhead. And I even remember what I ate. Like the food was good.
Yeah.
And then like to cap the whole night off, we were in Magic Kingdom and then we got to watch fireworks over Cinderella's castle.
Yeah.
And I just remember being so exhausted.
Yeah.
But it was so fun.
Yeah. It kind of set the, I don't know, it's just like the set the tone for our relationship maybe, or like
I think
it,
so
it gave the impression of like, oh, we can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
If we can like really enjoy our time together, yeah, now I think we could do this.
Yeah,
right away.
Yeah,
because if you didn't have a good time in that date,
mm-hmm,
I don't think it would have been like,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been as like, oh, it made us excited about the future, I guess, yeah, right?
And I feel like you know it's a good day when you are exhausted, like your feet and your legs are just like killing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally over 100 degrees outside,
mm-hmm,
and you don't care.
Right.
And you're still just having fun.
Yeah.
And you're not complaining about being tired. You're not complaining about being hot. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was still, I mean, it was our second day, like in person. So, you know, I wanted to impress you and look pretty for you and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, it just like didn't matter because we were just hot, sweaty, disgusting messes. But it was so fun.
Yeah. I like that one. Mine is kind of on the opposite timeline. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh.
When we were in France.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a traveling story.
Yeah.
One of the kind of outings that we had was we took a train that we had like no idea how to translate anything.
Mm-hmm.
We figured out how to get on the train,
mm-hmm,
and get to this city called Ez.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ez, there was this hike. Okay.
This is the story of our life.
Yeah. So there's this hike, and this kind of encompasses the way Amanda and I travel is that a lot of times we are unprepared and do not know what to expect.
Overexcited and unprepared.
Yeah. For example, like we hike the Rocky Mountain National, like we hike the Rockies with tennis shoes on.
Tennis shoes, yoga pants, and not a snowstorm by any means, but unexpected snow.
Yeah. So just we go into situations unprepared. And somehow, like we were
in Iceland.
We were sliding. Okay, this is back to the Rockies, right? We were sliding down the mountain with our tennis shoes, like we were like skiing or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Okay, so when we were in France, we went to this city, and it was like in between France and Italy.
Yeah, because I don't, it was it on our way back from Italy that we stopped?
I don't remember, but
between, regardless, yeah, right on the border,
the
of
the details of where it was doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there was this hike up a mountain type thing
to the city,
of Ez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and on top there's supposed to be like restaurants there and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going up this mountain. We didn't know how to dress for it, so
we
dressed nice, and we just didn't realize how long it would take to hike up this thing.
Uh-huh.
And and like when you're starting to get up in elevation, you're like starting to get really winded.
Yeah. I think like preface this in terms, because we're saying hiking up a mountain, which it definitely was, but there was definitely a path up the mountain.
Right.
So just to put that into perspective, yeah, like there were steps.
It's a well-known trail. People were like climbing it and all this stuff. And it's just, we were dressed a little bit too warm.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were dressed nice and all that stuff. So yeah, it was a little warm. So right away, we were like starting to sweat. And it was like these beautiful landscapes around you. And we were like, like dying.
Yeah.
Right. And what scared me the most was like, we didn't know where the top was. And Amanda's blood sugar started getting kind of like iffy.
Oh, yeah. I was crashing. I couldn't see the steps in front of me.
And I was kind of like in survival mode. So I was like, and there were a couple people like walking past us going down, mm-hmm. like going back down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I should be like, hey, how much longer?
Like, are we close?
Yeah. Are we like, do we have like 3 hours left? Because we have no idea how long it would take to get up to the summit. Mm-hmm. I think at one point I just took my shirt off or like, I was sweating. I had my shirt off in the side of a mountain.
Because you had like this nice, like we both had like heavy jackets on because it was chilly. It was probably like a 30, 40 degree day.
Yeah.
So we both had on like wool coats, nice sweaters, like nice jeans and boots. Because we thought it was just going to be like a 20 minute, oh, like it's a flight of stairs. And then, you know, we weren't expecting a hike up a mountain because it was like, okay, there's stairs. And it's probably, like just the other side of this hill. No, it was...
I think it didn't help that maybe we should have eaten more beforehand. Yeah. I think it was a combination of hunger, mm-hmm. lack of preparation, mm-hmm. your sugar levels going kind of haywire, and then the way we like dressed. So I was like, oh my gosh, if I have to like carry her and like start yelling like, we need sugar, like... I didn't know, like I was like ready for it, but I was like I was boiling in my like in my sweater, so I like I had the shirt off, like overlooking the Mediterranean Sea.
I mean, if we were gonna die, that was a way for it to happen.
Yeah, it was nuts, but eventually we like somehow muscled our way up there, and like we had to take a second when we got up.
Yeah,
like we were like, we survived.
We did. We made it.
Yeah. But when we got up there, there were like restaurants and towns, mm-hmm. and everybody looked like they were just like strolling normally while we just like...
We had just...
Like disheveled, like...
We had just fought for our lives on the side of the mountain.
Everybody that was hiking looked normal, but we were like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Let me tell you, that hike down was so much better.
The way down was much better.
The way down was so much better because we stuffed our faces up on that mountain.
That was some of the best food.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like the best food because we were in France, but like, or we were just hungry and happy. But like, we had like a really great meal up there. Mm-hmm. And on the way down, it was just because you kind of had... Now you know how long it kind of takes. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like down is always easier than up. Mm-hmm. So that helped because, you know, another thing we didn't account for was that it was like a good elevation.
Yeah.
So, you know, also like that played a part in everything. It was funny. But like you said, overexcited and unprepared, which is my answer for another question that we were going to ask tonight.
Yeah, we'll save it for another time. But yeah, that's a day that I remember and I cherish. And although there's a lot of days that I would consider my favorite. And like, it doesn't even have to be being at Disney World or being in another country. That's why I joked and said, like, right now. Aww. Like, it's kind of important to look at life that way. Like, I wouldn't want to always just be, like, looking forward to, like, what we're like this outward like travel idea to have the best day ever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to strive for, we talk about it a lot. It's like our everyday things. Like one of my favorite days is when we have breakfast and when we make crepes on the weekends.
Every morning is a good day.
Yeah. That sounds super cheesy, but it's just true. Like,
it's very true.
I know the examples that we said were very like grand and like once in a lifetime type things.
Yeah.
I just want to put that into focus too of like every single day is a good one.
It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I hope you enjoyed all the questions. If you want to send us a message and tell us your answers,
please do.
Please do let us know. So yeah, with that, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Kitchen Table Convos. Amanda, do you have any final words?
No. I'm out of words.
Out of words.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. Me too.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
I am too. That's okay. Why I'm out of words. Gotta wrap this up.
You're just like, I don't care. Why do you keep asking me about final words? You know I'm not going to say anything. Can we eat now?
Please.
Please. All right, everybody. Stay beautiful. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.